Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. I am Ann Ortley, an astrologer here in New York City at the Bright Red Desk. And this is an astrology program where three astrologers who love their work meet together on the internet to bring the energy in the sky to you and to also invite you to ask questions. And so I am joined today by my two compadres. Mark, you're out there. I can see you're there, and Heather too. So we'll go with Mark first.
Hello, Anne. It's Mark Waltz, also in New York City, also looking at the stars and the sun in Manhattan Henge shining between the buildings.
Shining. Yeah, you have Stonehenge going on over there now, right? Manhattan Henge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're coming in on July 12th.
Okay, cool. And Heather, you're out there too? I see you.
Yes, I'm here in Ronan, Montana, where it is cold tonight, and it is 50 degrees out with fresh snow on the mountains.
Oh, my God. What's it going to do to all the flowers you've been planting?
Well, 50 degrees they can handle. If it goes below 32, we're in trouble. But
okay.
I think it'll be fine. I think it'll just be nippy.
Their little leaves are getting chilled, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
A lot. Yeah. We're certainly getting chilled, and so. But otherwise, it's good. They had a great Pride March in Missoula the other day, which has been wonderful because we've had such, sometimes Montana can be really backwater about all progressive topics. So it's good to see them coming through this year.
Good. Everybody, well, you guys recently had that thing with the legislature with the transgender young lady who got kicked out because she was protesting.
She was from Calis. She was from Missoula, and I think that's one reason why there was such a big big support for her.
Yeah. She was very well spoken. I was very impressed with her. Yeah. And this week, Mark and I were just talking. There's Stonehenge here in Manhattan, and what that means. We're not 100% aligned with the summer and winter solstice, so we have Stonehenge and Manhattan Henge, we call it. And what happens is the sun is now this week going to be the highest it goes in the sky. And it's the solstice, stop of the sun, DC, sol is sun, of course, stops for 3 days, and then it reverses, and it heads back towards the equator. And so in the course of a year, the sun goes across, it sets across the horizon in 46 and a half different degrees. And so as you march, now it's as high as it goes, and now it marches down towards the equator, and it kind of moves across the horizon and sets in different places every night. And so a couple of times a year, we have what we call Manhattan Henge, which is when the sun sets even with the streets, because we have this grid system here in New York, and it's very cool. And Mark, in his new apartment on the 20th floor, looking to the west at sunset, has a really bird's-eye view of Manhattan Henge. And but right now for all of us, it's the summer solstice, the longest day, the shortest night, and then after that, the days get shorter by a minute every day until we get to the equinox in Libra, and then the night is longer than the day until we get to the Capricorn ingress in December, and that is the longest night and the shortest day. So we're at a real turning point in the heavens. So what are you guys noticing about this real turning point in the heavens?
Mark, you want to take that?
Well, it's coming with Pluto and Saturn freshly retrograde, and those are the big guys. So we're seeing a lot of challenge to authority, and some of it makes sense and some of it doesn't. But it's definitely a replay of any authoritarian things that have been going on. We get to review them again. So I noticed that. And I also noticed that Venus and Mars are both in Leo, marching along and forming aspects with everything. So they're acting like a team. The masculine and feminine principles are teamed up. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of special. It's nice to have them working together.
They're on a road trip. Mm. Venus says to Mars, hey, yeah. honey, you know what I'd like? Mars goes, okay, babe, I'll get it for you. And off they go, you know. They're having a good time. Desire
yep.
paired with action to get. So, yeah. And also, Venus entered a retrograde shadow today. She's going to be in Leo until October, but today she entered her retrograde shadow, preparing for her retrograde in July, which we'll talk about when we get there, and her Sun Venus Kazemi, her kiss with the Sun, which happens on August 13th. So right now, starting today, pay attention to your love, money, value, relationship energy, because Venus is up in the heavens and she's going, okay, so we got to make some plans, we got to make some choices, and Mars is helping, and they are working as a team. But also, this is the story you're going to be working on in the Venus retrograde, because Mars is going to scooch ahead and leave her behind. He's going to go into Virgo while she goes retrograde for 40 mm-hmm. days. And we see that 40 days in Jesus in the Desert in 40 days, Ramadan fasting for 40 days, Lent for 40 days, resurrection and the ascension into heaven for 40 days. So we see 40 a lot. And that's also one of those things they say, hey, you do it for 40 days and you have a new habit. So if you're trying mm-hmm. to get rid of something, this is a good summer to do it. And it's kind of a new moon because Venus is between the Earth and the Sun. So it acts like a Sun and Moon getting together and saying, ooh, let's do this for the next 8 years. So they're getting ready to partner. Think back to what you were doing in August of 15 and August of 7 because these are the last times they had this kiss up there in the heavens right next to each other. So, Heather, what are you noticing in the heavens?
I see that it's going to be 8:58 a.m. on Wednesday morning when the sun hits that solstice point, 00 mm-hmm. Cancer. The moon in Leo conjuncting those two planets. I was looking back at the chart today of the original Juneteenth in mm-hmm. June 19th, 1865 in Texas, Galveston, Texas. Mm-hmm. We don't have a time on it, but that was such an interesting chart. Mars was very close to where it is today. Mars was at 15 degrees of, it is night now, it's at 19, and Venus is at 15 degrees of Leo. Mars was at 15 degrees of Leo at that time, and it was forming a trine to Neptune. So Mars in Leo trine Neptune, a kind of a spiritual opening and awakening, which is really exciting. The Sun was conjunct Uranus back in 1865. So that day it was, you know, a real change and a kind of a shocking wake up to the people that were trying to hold on to their slaves. And the Moon was in Taurus conjunct Pluto and Venus. So you can see all the grief that and the power struggles that were still part of this. Now, it was interesting when you see that, you know, Juneteenth was not when the slaves were freed. It was when the last of the slave owners were made to admit that the slaves were freed. It comes back to a problem that we see in our country repeatedly, that desire to have a reality be because we want it to be. There were a lot of slave owners that said, no, I'm not going to tell them that they're free. I'm going to get a couple more harvests out of them before I pass that on. And so, you know, the Juneteenth for me is, you know, it's the Gemini holiday. It's a holiday like how do you kind of wake up and look at reality? And, you know, Gemini can sort of skim past it and tell a good story, but this says how do we wake up and, you know, accept the fact that someone lost an election or that someone didn't do something that they said they were going to, like, that illusion that we see more, that we that our reality is what we want it to be is really an interesting problem. So it was, you know, and Mars was square Pluto at the time and square Venus. So it, you know, was an interesting chart for that first Juneteenth. And I'm hoping that we can use this holiday to, you know, the liberation proclamation that let go of slavery also is what has been used to for gay rights and all the other top places in our country that we're trying to let go of oppression of any one particular group over the other. So it's definitely a holiday worth celebrating, and I'm happy to see that today. And in the coming holiday, you know, Venus and Mars in Leo, if you've got great for any solstice party, we're hosting a big wedding here on the land this weekend, our Thursday and Friday, for a couple that from Missoula that wants to, you know, have a party out in the woods. And
oh,
I think
nice.
That Venus and Mars in Leo is perfect for that.
That sounds great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you know, we just had that Supreme Court decision come in where they said, hey, you know, Georgia, what are you doing with the gerrymandering? Or Alabama, I don't remember one of them. What are you doing with the gerrymandering?
Yeah.
And then the state next door is going to have to change theirs too. Because actually they said, hey, it looks like you're picking them, you're setting, you're playing a little bit around here with your voting rules. So that also was helpful because people were kind of a little despairing. And, you know, we're not a perfect union, but the whole idea is what's the vision? What are we striving for? What's our vision
Keep
of where
we want
to go?
Coming back to that
and
vision statement.
Yeah, back to our vision statement. You know, all men are created equal. Well, now we're going to add women, and then we're going to add gay people, and then we're going to add transgenders, and then we're going to add people of different colors. You know, it's we're people. We're all part
of
this giant, messy country. But the goal is how can we work together instead of arguing, fighting, and yelling at each other. So, but, you know, sometimes it seems like the arguing, yelling, and fighting is more, and that's okay. You know, we're a family, but we're all in the same kind. We got to figure it out. We got to figure out how we get together. You know, I've been very, you know, it's funny. I had a really interesting conversation with somebody, and they were talking about divisiveness. Of course, we have Mars and Gemini in our chart, which is brother against brother, part against part. And I think we have to, you know, rather than saying us against them, and I mean, I'm a little guilty of it too because I mutter under my breath sometimes, but we have to figure out where we can find a connection, where we can find unity. And the thing with Pluto in Aquarius is it does ask us to look at what our group and our tribe is. Now we're going back into Capricorn until January, so it's saying, you guys don't have it worked out yet. Go back to the drawing board. Set to Mark's point, Saturn and Pluto are backwards. You know, like, go fix it. What are you doing? Come on, fix it. You can do that. You can do better than this. So I think that's the energy, too, you know. So what do you guys think about the Neptune aspect with Mercury? I just want to add before we do Mercury sextiling Mars and squaring Neptune, the new moon that we had on Saturday night, Sunday morning, you know, Friday evening in the West Coast, Saturday evening in the West Coast, had Mercury on the part of treachery. And Sun and Moon were squaring Neptune, you know, coming in, and Moon was out of bounds. So it's a really interesting chart for treachery being revealed. And I had a few people, you know, checking in with, oh, my God, treachery. And I'm like, wow, cool. So that's the energy, too, with Mars, with Mercury working with Mars and squaring Neptune. He's like, ha, 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 how did I trick you? So what have you guys been seeing with that sextile to first the square to treachery and then these aspects this week?
Well, there's been a really interesting case that I've been watching with the tribes against Enbridge in Wisconsin and Minnesota. And they've been trying to get the oil pipelines rerouted away from their land and away from their water source. Because that's been, you know, it's been a very sensitive place. The arrangement was made 70 years ago, and the in the meantime, the Enbridge has not had a good track record for safety, and it has been a problem. So they've been suing it and protesting it and throwing fits about it for years now, And just today, or yesterday, a federal judge ordered Enbridge to pay $5.1 million for trespassing on the northern on their tribe and remove its oil and gas pipeline from land it's illegally operating on, and it has to get it out within 3 years. It has to stop, you know, immediately and then get it out in 3 years. That the erosion has made it so the pipeline is only 11 feet from the river and is exposed on the Bad River's banks. So, you know, we have oil on water, and it's being blocked by a, you know, the treachery has been revealed because Enbridge has been thinking that it could just bamboozle the tribe, and it has been stopped, which is a good Mars sextile.
That's a nice, and then, of course, Neptune is oil and water both.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Now, there's been two major deadly tornadoes this week, one in Texas and one in, I think it's Mississippi. And, you know, I see whenever there's Neptune, you know, stirring up planets, then you see weather problems. And mm-hmm. the weather problems all over the East Coast with the, you know, the people cannot deny, you know, when climate change seems so distant when it's on the other side of the country. But when New York City's got smoke and the tornado area is shifting away from the Midwest and into more populated areas, I think people are noticing that, yes, it's not incremental, it's happening, and do they want to do something about it?
Right, yeah. And Mark, what have you been noticing?
I'm still taking in this solstice chart.
You're still what? Say again?
Taking in the solstice chart.
Okay.
For the sun going into Cancer. And it is trying to Saturn in those water signs, which is a good thing for what we've been talking about so far, because there's a big need. So Saturn is retrograde, inviting us to handle it so far. And the sun is trying to it. This is the Cancer sun, and it sets up the next 3 months. So it's a good time to review what are your obligations and how are you meeting them.
And what you want to do with the obligations that mm-hmm. you have, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And what do you suggest people do with them when they're trying to figure out those commitments?
Be realistic and make sure that it's your own sense of obligation and not one that's imposed on you. Because if it's imposed on you, it's not necessarily something you can do. But if you decide you're going to do it, then things will line up.
Okay. Kind of coming at it really from what's your life choice versus someone else's life choice for you, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the planet Jupiter sits in the middle of that trine, sextile to both Saturn and Sun. So if you make your decisions, things will line up. You've got Jupiter to help. And Jupiter's in Taurus. It's that solid Earth sign.
And that kind of pushes us into mm-hmm. a different direction. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then also Jupiter is conjunct to the North Node. The North Node is still in
right.
Taurus. So Jupiter is saying, whatever it is you feel you're moving toward, here's a boost.
Yeah. And the other thing we're having this week is Jupiter and Saturn in a sextile. And
mm-hmm.
they, you know, this is their opening sextile in Earth and Water. And they met up at zero Aquarius on December 20th of 2020. And so now they're saying, okay, remember back in December when you said you were going to do this? We were just getting out of the solstice. We were just getting out of COVID. The vaccination had been invented. We were like, okay, it's going to solve the problems. We've got this. So the energy is very much that again. You know, it's saying, and you talked about it back then, but what you've been doing on it? And so this is very much a time of, oh, I think I need to get that. I forgot I was supposed to work on that. I'll get back to it. I'm going to get back to it now, I promise. So it's an interesting energy because it wants us to step forward into, you know, the next chapter for us. So that, I think, is also important. What are you guys been seeing in terms of how that's been showing up for people in their lives, that conjunction, or what their thoughts are about what their next chapter
Jupiter,
is.
Jupiter, Saturn. Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of people in their, you know, finishing up a major work project and kind of deciding that that feels like it's not a turning point, but it's, you know, let me get this done, then I can get on to that done, that there's a secondary stage for that, which is going to be interesting. And I wanted to just quick come back to the Neptune transit because I forgot the other news story that fits the, you know, the less positive side of it, of the Neptune square to Mercury, is the, you know, the there's a submarine that was taking tourists down to look at the Titanic, you know, what could go wrong? Mercury squares Neptune. Don't go on a submarine and go look at the Titanic. There's five people missing, including one, you know, a major billionaire from Scotland who was down there, and they have been out of contact. They've lost him for a day, and they've got enough air for another day, and, you know, they're trying to find the submarine before everybody dies.
Wow.
But that's, you know, big search for it, which will be part of that. But, you know, the Jupiter-Saturn I often see is the left and right working together on something. And I thought that you know, that both the, the one you brought up before, the gerrymandering case in front of the Supreme Court was a case where the left and right both, you know, came together on that. And, you know, there was a lot of support on both sides for calling that gerrymandering what it was, and changing it, which I thought was pretty wonderful. You know, we're not going to see anything great communion across the aisle at the moment because the country's so polarized, but that was an encouraging step.
Right. Well, and on another note, we just had Sedna, who is the goddess of the ocean, went into Gemini. And Gemini, of course, is oxygen. So when you're in the ocean, there's a, you know, one of the issues is we're not fish. You need the oxygen. So then the other part of it is, you know, when she, you know, when her father cut her fingers off because he was trying to escape angry husband, she, you know, the fish turned in, her fingers turned into the fish of the sea, and she fell to the bottom of the ocean and drowned. And so the shamans go down and comb her hair, and when before they go fishing, you know, they, you know, propitiate her and help her and make her. So I think it's interesting that she turned from Taurus into Gemini. And I didn't know this little boat was going down there, you know, obviously. You know, there's something for, you know, everybody kind of thing. But I was like, oh, wow, that's totally Sedna running out of oxygen, you know. Or, okay, come on down, you know, and we're going to look for you. We're going to look for you. So, you know, regular people might be left to figure it out by themselves, but, you know, you've got a billionaire down there. They're going to spend some resources to try and get him back up. So, Sedna. And Mercury-Mars and Mercury-Neptune, what, you know, does the sea, that wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald at Christmas time, I was, or Thanksgiving last year, I was staying with my friend, and she has two grandchildren, and they walk in and they go, Alexa, play the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, you know, and so it starts playing the song, you know, the sea never gives up its dead, you know, and I'm like, ooh, where do you guys know how to do this? And they, you know, and then it would stop and they go, Alexa, play the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which of those of you who don't know it, go listen to the Edmund Fitzgerald. It's a pretty good song.
It's a beautiful song.
But yeah, the, Lake,
you know,
Big
the
Lake,
church
they
that
call
they mentioned
Kichikumi.
In that, yep, the Great Lake Superior. In the mm-hmm. church that they mention in that, because that's a real story and it really happened.
Yep.
And the church where they rang the bell 29 times for when Gordon Lightfoot died, they rang it 30 times.
Oh, that's so nice. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that was one of my, I mean, it was clearly a big hit with these little guys. They both knew the words to it. Although the 7-year-old was the one that kept asking for it, so he's a Scorpio.
Yeah, a Scorpio. You go through a morbid phase around then.
When you're 7, you go there. I guess you were 6 back then, but yeah.
You go like, oh my God,
yeah,
things die. What am I going to do with that? Right.
How do I deal with dead things? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So been good, and he got to the part, fellas. It's been good to know ya. You know, he belted that out. It was very cute. So. And his grandfather and I are kind of looking at each other going, I think he's got a career in singing, you know. At least dramatic interpretation. So
that's wonderful.
That's good. Yeah. So it is a busy week, folks. And the other part that's interesting to pay attention to is that now that Pluto's back in Capricorn, the moon has hard closing aspects. Because of, you know, it's now back in a cardinal sign. So we were getting away from those hard closing aspects because it was in Aquarius, but now the cardinal planets until January when the moon's in a cardinal sign. So today with the moon opposite Pluto, then the moon's going to go into Leo, and it has a hard closing aspect in Leo also. So the Virgo moon is trine to Pluto. That's the one on Thursday and Friday. So the beginning of the week is a little tough. For endings and letting go of things. And, you know, there's three asteroids changing signs this week, all shifting into new energies. So Ceres is at the end of her journey, Vesta's at the end of his journey, and Juno's at the end of her journey. And so they're all shifting into new energies. So we're going to really feel that shift because they're changing. And they kind of rule. So you're going to, when you get towards the end of the week, you're going to feel like a burst of energy. But the front end of the week is going to feel a little bit like a slog, like you're walking through quicksand, which technically you are. It's a quicksand kind of energy because the planets are right at that last degree and they're trying to get into the next one and they're pulling and they're pushing and they're like, ah. Like mile 26 of the marathon, you know, you're watching them and you're like, you're going to make it, you're going to go, you got two-tenths of a mile to go and you're there. So be gentle with those you meet this week because they're having these transits too. So anything you guys want to say? I think we got to the end of our thing and I forgot to ask for callers. Anything you want to say to give guidance to our listeners this week?
I want to find joy and find something worth celebrating. Venus and Mars in Leo can really bring out the grace notes. There's a lot of work that we have to do, pierce through the confusion and, you know, get moved thinking about our next work. But it's also the longest days in the year are this week and next. So savor those moments. Have a glass of wine on the porch. Watch the sunset at Stonehenge. Really soak it in. This is the R&R time that helps us come back to ourselves and be able to make it through the next winter. And that, just even if it's a moment here and moment there, Leo is good for making the heart full and feel and generous and grateful. And I think that that's going to be an important part of it. So that's me sending off.
That's good.
And
Mark,
Heather
what do you
Robin,
want to
signing
say
off
to
from
folks?
Montana. Bye.
Oh, bye, Heather. Mark, what do you want to say in last to our listeners?
Follow the sun. Follow the sun. Stopping its northward march, it's going to turn around and go south. So be ready to go.
Yeah. It's heading off. It's going in a new direction. Yeah.
Yep.
And, Yeah, my dad had a telescope, and he used to sight where the sun set, and he would set it every night. He'd move the telescope a degree a night, and then he would get to the solstice, and he would sit there 3 days, and then he'd go, okay, now it's going the other direction. So We're changing direction. So I'm Ann Ortley, signing off from the Bright Red Desk in Manhattan. And Mark?
And Mark Wolf, signing off from the Hudson River.
Okay.
And Heather
saying
goodbye from Montana. Yep.
Have a good wedding in the woods this week, Heather.
Thank you. Good.
All right.
Okay.
Everybody take care.
Everybody have a good one. Bye.